Are you doing?
I started reading chapter 28, Way of Perfection.
That's good, eh?
Very powerful.
Very powerful. It's for reading it slowly and meditating it and going again and again to the to that chapter. Hello, Susie. Yeah, there is not a clock here. Oh, here it is. So we are 7 o'clock. We begin with a prayer. Yes, God, give more awareness of the meaning of interior life or spiritual life. How is the only life and the true life that bring us to live in fullness of body and our relationship with the reality. And with God. And with our brothers. We pray to God, knowing He's our Father. And as the gospel today was saying to us, He God so much, He loves the world. So He loves you and me, that He gave His Son for us. So we have eternal life. Not in the future, in the present. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We pray to Mary, all the mystery of Mary is in her heart, is her interior, full of grace. The Lord is with thee, and the reason she is blessed amongst women. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen. And understanding and believing that we are temples of God, we are called to glorify God through our lives, our bodies, our actions. God dwells in us, and He is eternal life. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The topic today, you know, the last day we were talking about the Annunciation and Mary, and we finished with the, where's the, I mean, interior life is Mary. She's the mother and the fullness of that interior life, of that action of God in her. So in a spiritual life, there are two factors, you know, the grace of God and our soul. And so how our soul is being modeled and formed by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit, who is present within us. And this, Mary has this dimension of fullness that in heaven we will understand a little better, not understanding the whole thing because it's impossible, but is the openness, total openness to God, that is the Immaculate Conception. And she is full of grace always. She's always in that action of God that is there working in her and doing the love of the work of sanctification in her, because Mary, as Jesus, was growing in grace, in wisdom, all along her life, as Jesus, going deeper. So everything never in the our life is a plan of God for bringing us to the fullness. It was for Jesus, how it's going to be for us. No? He learned through suffering obedience. And in obedience, he achieved his fullness as a man. Of course, as a God, the fullness is infinite always. So in his humanity, he grows every day of his life, as we are called to grow every day of our lives. But it's more an interior thing than an exterior thing, because externally, we want or we don't want, we are going to decrease and diminish, and the body is going to get weaker. We want and we don't want. I mean, it's a time that life begins to go, but the interior man can be growing always and maturing and developing himself in holiness, in union with God, in knowledge of God, in eternal life. The eternal life is knowing God. And you and the one you sent. The expression of Jesus in John 17:3. That this is eternal life, knowing God. The knowledge that is given through love, because it is the climax of that knowledge, is the virtue of the gift of wisdom that is tasting God in this life. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we have received. You know, the gift of the Spirit is all about the action of God in us, because the gifts, we cannot move them. Only God can move the gifts. We cannot move the gifts. We can move the virtues. The virtues are part of our work, you know, because they are connected with our choices. In the gifts, the only thing we can do is not offering too much resistance. That is what we are, total resistance and hindrance to the Holy Spirit. That is what we are. And better we know that, better for us. And, you know, the San Ignatius of Loyola, that he wrote that to San Francis of Borgia, the second general of the Jesuits, who was the second most powerful person in the world in that moment. When his wife died, he was a father of 9 or 11, I am not sure. And when his wife died, he became a Jesuit. Yes.
I'm sorry, Father, I can't understand you. I don't know if it sounds like you're in a bubble, or is there anything different with your mic, or my sound is all the way up, but I can't understand you. Maybe you're just too tired to speak tonight. I don't know, but it sounds like
It sounds like last night, Father. I think you need to move closer to the mic again.
Okay,
I can move closer. Maybe now. Also, it's good that you put off your microphone, because it not can be. I get closer, I mean, so you can hear me better. I hope so. Next time, I will try with a microphone, putting the microphone in my mouth. But I don't have it here now, so I cannot do that today.
Okay, that's
right. Do you hear a little better now?
That's better.
Okay. But try to also put off your microphones, because sometimes the echo makes a kind of bad sound in your computers. So I will try to speak a little louder and not so soft. So the thing here is understanding that this mystery of Mary is the mystery of first receiving. That is the first dimension of Christian life, is opening to the love of God, receiving the grace of God. We are Christians because we live from the love of God. That is the meaning of the Immaculate Conception, that she is totally open to the Creator. So that open to God is the same thing. I mean, it's totally open to the almighty power of God. I mean, she knows the almighty power of God. She proclaims it in the Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Just look at the lowliness of the servant. The Almighty has done great things in me or for me. I mean, she knows that God works in her and for her. And when the angel is going to the Annunciation, what he's going to proclaim is that for God, nothing is impossible. So that is the way she's going to accept being mother, being virgin. But that is a dimension of marriage. That is also a Christian dimension, virginity. So it's putting God first. I would say that virginity is connected with the first commandment. No? First commandment is about loving God with all my heart, all my strength, all my being, and all my soul. which means loving God above all things and persons. And faith is understanding that only there I can find God in my life. And if that is not happening, or if I am not working that dimension of my spiritual life, I am not having a real relationship with God. And there we can grow always because He commands us to love Him. He's not saying, love me if you want. No, He's commanding us. Why? Because the meaning of our being is that love of God. And that is connected with virginity, that is putting God first. It's not that virginal dimension of the body, that in Mary is expressed in a virginal dimension of her body, because it's her total gift to God and is the foundation of all virginity in the church, that is the desire of God. Virginity is not founded for, no, it's the desire of God that take away the other desires for putting God first. So I don't know why it's coming here. But the virginity means the total orientation of the heart toward the union with God and the desire of God, never putting anyone before God. Things of person. And faith is virginal because faith is an openness to God in which that desire of God becomes now wanting to do the will of God. There cannot be no way. We are not desiring the will of God. We don't love God. You love me, you do my, you obey my will, you do what I command you. Why did you call me Lord if you don't do what I am saying to you? An expression of Jesus, no? Why do you call me Lord, Lord if you are not doing what I am saying to you? Like, don't deceive yourself, honey. You can deceive me, you can't, but maybe you are trying to deceive yourself. Because God becomes my Lord in the measure that I am wanting to do His will. When I don't want to do the will of God, I mean, God is not my God yet. I mean, all the commandments and all the law is, and all the spiritual life is that ultimate goal that is doing the will of God. Because in the will of God are all good. So in Mary, these two dimensions, express her femininity. We're talking a little about that. I'm not going there today, but it's an expression of why? Because the human heart, the soul, has a feminine dimension for everyone. I mean, we are called to a union with God that is an espousal dimension. The church is the bridegroom of Jesus. Every one of us is, and all the son of Solomon is a relationship in which all the mystics, they have seen the relationship of the soul with Jesus. And obviously the soul is not the groom, but the bridegroom. And there is something that is there. I mean, that is the bride. The bridegroom is Jesus. So the groom and the bridegroom is Jesus. So the soul is the spouse. And there are a lot of texts in the Old Testament that express that dimension of God wanting to make a marriage with us. And that's the virginal dimension, because the goal of marriage is the union with God. In the moment of marriage, is not oriented toward the union with God, becomes a very tough thing. Why? Because the meaning of marriage is the union with God. The meaning of this life is the union with God, for everyone. Some people who do the vow of chastity and virginity is expressed physically, that union with God, but it's not that they are special, no. It's that they represent what in the eschatological dimension of the church, so what everyone in the future will live before God, what a virginal dimension. So in Mary, that is expressed with a lot of strength. It's the two dimensions. One is about the origin, how I am living from love, and the other is how I am walking toward the fullness of my existence, my happiness in the union with God. The first is more receptive, so it's more learning to open. There is now about my choices, about the will of God, and remaining in that, because they cannot be separated. It's not one out of the other. But every one of is called to that, I mean, as a Christian, because everyone is called to that fullness of the union with God. So The Merida's hidden light, that is the topic of today, is in fullness. That the Holy Family is the hidden light. So you want, we want to learn something, go and meditate out the life of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. That is the hidden light. Nothing, not the son of Joseph, but they were in a fullness, in a total fullness, always in communion with God, and in that happiness that is the communion with God in this life. In the measure can it achieve, is what this is what one of us is called. It's not to extraordinary things, it's to the union with God. One of us is the two points of this interior life in this society. One is superficiality. So the people are very superficial, so they remain always in the emotional level of the things, because we are accustomed to see so much movies and songs that are so superficial, because at the end they don't bring us to any depth. You know, it's all external also, superficial and external. It's almost the same, no? It's the surface of the thing, not going shallow, not going any deeper. We have to test ourselves where we are. I mean, what is our depth? I mean, because in the scripture, a little verse can bring you to the union with God. But I mean, sometimes we are reading and reading and reading and reading, and that is superficiality. Or a lot of practices and a lot of things to do, pious things that don't bring to any intimacy with God and growth in our lives. And we have to check that and to see if I am the things I am doing. I have to check box. With God, we don't have to check any box. With God, we have to be holy. This is what we have to do. That has to be, and that is a matter of death. There's a matter of openness of my heart to God. So that is, and there is sentimentalism. It's all emotional. If I don't feel, God is not there. I mean, a person who is there never will go deep in a spiritual life. The spiritual life is not about my feelings, because my feelings are about my ego. My feelings are all emotional and what I feel. I mean, Jesus was not feeling very much in the cross, but he was in the total union with the Father, as Mary. The greatest moment of the union with Jesus is the moment he died. The greatest moment of the union with Jesus is with the Father. I mean, and the feelings were, my God, why have you abandoned me? But that doesn't mean that it's not in the union with God. I mean, our feelings are not the like Mother Teresa, all this interpretation of Mother Teresa, of Mother Teresa was in a union with God that I changed my life in this moment for her. I mean, I don't change my life for her because she was so powerful and so strong there that I don't have that power and strength. I mean, because we can mistake the spiritual life with feelings. And the spiritual life is charity. And there is where Mother Teresa shows to the world her union with God. I mean, it's not, when they talk about that, they have, where was God in her life? I mean, God was always there. But God put her in a mystical state that is sharing the thirst of Jesus. So the same state of Jesus on the cross. It was a state of taking the sins of the world and suffering for others and giving his life for others. I mean, that's the God put in the woman. But the mystery of Mother Teresa, all the sins coming from the interior. It's coming from the intimacy they have with God, from their interior life. Because all evil is coming from within. All good is coming from within, as Jesus put very clear when they were talking, you know, washing things, washing hands, and all these things. I mean, it's all there. But we are there. I mean, sometimes, I mean, this huge problem, if you want to grow in a spiritual life, it's all about death. It's all about letting God to take possession. You know, the interior dwellings is a process that God is in the very center of the soul. So I need to go deeper. I mean, Señor de Cruz is told about that, as Santa Teresa of Avila and all the saints. I mean, they are not, they are doctors of the church in this matter, because they express better than others what others were living in different ways. I mean, but all spiritual life is coming deeper. I mean, it's death talk to death. So from the death of the heart is coming to the death of God. And it's an action of the Holy Spirit that is bringing us there deeper. But in the moment that is not happening, our spiritual life is not growing. I mean, if we are not going deeper in our relationship with God and opening more to the mystery, the hidden life is not a weird life. No, weird is what we are living. The hidden life is the only real life. There is an apparent lie of life. That is where this society is living, and we are there also many times in our behaviors and seeing how we behave. We can see that our life is not with fullness, it's not with depth, it's superficial. And all these media things is totally superficial. It's every day changing the news, everything, putting everyone nervous, everyone in his head thinking what is going to happen. What is going to happen? That you are going to die. Do you know that? I mean, that is what is going to happen. You want or you don't want? I mean, but why the fear of what is going to happen? We don't know what is going to happen. It's not in our power. My power is being holy. And that is what it's all about. Because that is the real life. The real life is how I am growing, not what is going to happen. I mean, I think it's obvious, no? For a Christian person, should be more obvious. What is this life is not about what is going to happen, it's how who I am and what I am going to become in whatever happens. Because I mean what is going to happen is not in my capacity, but my now growing and knowing whatever comes, I'm going to continue growing and I'm going to continue going deeper in the union with God, because it's all in a plan of my Father for my fullness. And in that moment, the thing of what is going to happen disappear of the head. I mean, if I have responsibilities, of course, I have to provide for what is going to happen. But all these media thing that is, they are taking our hearts and our families and our children also, because they are making them superficial and creating a kind of people that are weak, because that is what they want. The God is making us weak so that we cannot resist what they are pretending, that is manipulating us and controlling us. And this is, we don't go there. But I mean, here the point is the hidden life is the only real life. There is no life out of that. It's the life with God. Out of God, the only thing that exists is the appearance of the world, the vanity of the world, vanity of vanities, and all is vanity. And many times we are there and we have to test ourselves and know how we are growing, because we can help not many people, but those God is giving me every day. I am helping them to grow and to mature and to open to God, or keeping me in the nervous things, in the superficial thing, in the emotional things, and now I lose to be the salt of the of my family and to be the light of my family, because I am in the super surface of things, worry. Worry. Or why are you worried? You can change it. I mean, you can. Why are you worried? You know, it's a simple thing, but it's there. I mean, why are you worried? You cannot change the thing. I mean, you can change it. I mean, don't be worried. Do it. Do what you have to do. I mean, your beauty in this moment. I mean, is there is something that they create in us that, and this is the contrary of this hidden life. I mean, that is the only real life that is living in the present. No? We have talked a lot about this point. In the moment I am not in the present, I am not with God. In the moment I am not in the present, I am harming myself. Why? Because I don't have any capacity of the future and the past. It's not in my power. So it means that I am losing reality. I mean, that I can talk with a person that is not a Christian and try to make him understand that, even he has no faith. I take this and I say, I mean, you are not in reality, you are neurotic. I mean, I can explain it to whatever person in the psychological level. Why? Because what are you doing? Living in the past or putting depression or nostalgia or sadness or whatever things that are killing you as a person? Even in the future, anxiety and anguish and fear and what is going to happen and stress out, and how do you grow? Being in the past or being in the future cannot grow. So interior life is not for, what is interior life? Interior life is because your God, who is infinite love, and has given his son for you in a cross, so you will have now eternal life. You grow in that eternal life, and you bring life to the world through your life. So to the one who is living in you, because if not, nothing is going to happen. The things continue being the same always, and I will say worse. Why? Because only interior life can make a marriage. Only interior life can be a person working in his house and being in fullness. I mean, because this is the problem we have. People are all wanting to go away from the house. Mothers also. Why? Because they are escaping. Where? Escaping from what? Escaping from themselves, of course. I mean, I'm trying to find the appearance of the world. They see me, I am in the media, and so it's also sad because there is no death, there is no joy, there is no fullness, there is no happiness, there is no growth, there is nothing. And now we complain, where is God? So bad question. The question is always, where am I, not where is God? I mean, but it's always there for the humble, the little, and those who understand that this is about reality. And because God is the creator and he continues ruling everything. But they pretend to put all in our heads for putting us nervous, I mean, it's never from God. Because the only moment I have in my life is this moment. And out of this moment, there is nothing real in my life. It's all my imagination, my memory going to the past, or my imagination going to the past. And now they're giving a power to the enemy for putting me in trouble. I mean, in trouble. Why? Because it's me who is giving that power to the enemy. I mean, God, the power of God is in the present. I mean, the scripture is about that. It's about divine providence. Do we truly believe in divine providence? Do we truly believe that God, infinite, the creator of the whole universe, is guiding my life? Even the hairs of my head are counted. And everything is in his plan, and not can fall a little bird on earth without the consent of your father. And this father has given his son to die on a cross for me, for showing me the power and the love he has for me. And I continue living in my head. Maybe something is not working well in my head, no? Is that what Jesus said? Men of lack of faith. Why you worry about the little things? When you cannot give your life as a minute of life, you are worried. You worry about the things that you cannot change. Try to change yourself, and you will stop worrying. Maybe because that is freedom, that is the meaning of freedom, making choices. For what? For changing myself. What is going to be the choices in my life? And the choices are for that and many other reasons. So I can grow, I can know God, I can go deeper in my life, and I can help others to understand better their lives. Because at the end, the people die lonely, empty, void, fearful, without any knowledge of God. And we are created only for one thing, for knowing God, which is eternal life. But are we growing in that knowledge of God? I don't know, you know. That's the meaning of your life. I mean, that is what is interior life. But there is a God that is with me, and he's always there with me. For what? For sanctifying me, because he's the sanctifier, he's the Holy Spirit. He's the Father also. It's Jesus. I mean, the how I am opening to him is how I'm taking my ego from the center of everything. But the problem is always so simple as that. What is destroying my interior life? My egocentric life. Because interior life is sharing the life of heaven. So it's opening to other, living from other, living in other, living with other, and stop the loneliness of the heart. But that can happen only through faith, God, and trust and love. In the moment that these things are not happening, it's all a very crazy way of living that is. But here is the thing. In St. Luke chapter 12, he talks about divine providence. He said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, or what you will eat, or about your body, or what you will wear. For life is more than food, and body more than clothing. That is the radiance. Radiance? They do not sow or reap, and they have neither a storehouse nor barn. Yet God feeds them. How much more important are you than birds? This is verse 25. Can any of you, by worrying, add a moment, I would say a minute, to your lifespan? In the question is good. Can any of you, by worrying, add a moment to your lifespan? If even the smallest things are beyond your control, why are you anxious about the rest? Now talk about the flowers. Notice how the flowers grow. They do not toil or spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass in the field that grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you? All you of little faith. You know, in Samadhi, what says, you worry of these things like the pagans, but they don't believe in God. As for you, do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink, and not do not worry anymore. All day. Things will be given you besides what's looking for the kingdom, because if we are not looking for the kingdom, and we think that he's going to give them to us, and things with this beautiful text, do not be afraid any longer, little flock. For your father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Not fear anymore. All these fears that are coming to our hearts and to our lives that are so is the hidden life, is the real life, is the inner life, is the hidden life. Why? Because God is hidden. He has hidden. Why? Because he wants to be with the little, with the poor. He doesn't want to be in the appearance of the world. And he doesn't want to be in Hollywood. I mean, he actually can be in Hollywood with the heart of the people far humble there. But, I mean, he don't want to be in the show off of this society. This is totally contrary to God. I mean, it's all a lie, it's all appearance, it's all showing the lie of our life, because all these people that are showing themselves off, their weakness, their miseries, and their problems are huge. Yeah, but they are, in the appearance, they are perfect. And they create us that envy of being like them. I mean, so this opening to that mystery of our interior life, the inner life is a human life. So it's your true story of every man, is ordinary life, his hidden life, everyday life, your heart. And here I encourage you to look always for the little things. The smaller is the thing, the greater is the grace. If you don't know that, you don't know nothing about that. You think that God is going to come to your life in the extraordinary? Continue trying. Because you never will find that. God comes in the ordinary, hidden things. Why? Because God has revealed for the poor and the little, those who have an ordinary little thing, for bringing this life to fullness, not the extraordinary. Today I was talking with one of you, I was talking about that how we look for the extraordinary, because we are so empty inside that we are looking for extreme experiences. Why? Because we have lost the capacity of enjoying life. And because we cannot enjoy life, we are always looking for substitutes that can give us a kind of paying attention to reality. That's the reason we go to all these things that put us in, I would say, extreme difficulties, extreme moments of experience, that because we have lost the capacity of being rejoicing in the fullness of life. I mean, that is given to us in the present moment. And God is always working there in those who are there. I mean, God. I mean, So not living in interior life is living in appearance. I mean, you have all the chapter six of Saint that finish with also talking about the divine providence. But on the verse 1-18 is the two ways of life. I mean, as you are in the hidden and in the secret, where your father is, and he will reward you, or you are, or I am, in the appearance of the world. So trying to help people to fulfill my desires and my feelings and my emotions, that usually the desire of being loved and applauded and recognized and valued and thinking that I am whatever. So now you are in your thinking, you need to be in your thinking. But the chapter Jesus put very clear that there are two ways of living. But that is now, it's not in the time of Jesus, it's now. It's happening exactly the same with you and with me, and with every priest and with the bishops and with the Pope and with everyone in the universe. Or you are looking outside or you are looking within. And the moment you are looking outside, you are in the Pharisaic movement of the heart that already has received a reward. And what is its reward? No, it is already. And somebody applaud you, but what is that? What brings that to your heart and to your life? Nothing. And somebody praise you, because they were looking for being seen by others. They were looking for being praised by others. They were doing everything for the others pay attention to them. That is the way they were acting. But we are all of us there. You know it from childhood, that's me. But now I need to change that out only through faith. It's the only way, understanding that my father, because I cannot understand that my father, who is this divine providence and he rules everything and he's almighty, my father who loved me with a love that is his son crucified, he is in the secret of the heart. He is in the hidden. I mean, you only through faith you can come there. It's impossible that you, by your own understanding, you get there. And the reason Christian life is coming to the life of God. Coming to the interior life, because we are human, because we have an interior life. Animals don't have an interior life. They can't have an interior life. They have feelings, yes. They have emotions, yes. But they don't have an interior life. And the problem with interior life is, or I am looking for God, or I am looking for me, because animals are not looking for them. Animals are in their nature, and they don't care. You mock, you insult the animal, he don't care. I mean, he will look you and what is this? You know, when people are with the monkeys doing them things in the zoos, the monkeys look at the people like this. These are really monkeys. Why? Because it's what is there. I mean, the animals have no interior desires of anything. I mean, they have desires of the things that are ingrained in their nature. They don't care. Our things, you see, connected with their instinct, they care. But if not connected with their instinct, they don't care. Why do they not have an interior life? They don't have a desire of fullness. They don't have a desire of happiness. They don't have a desire of being loved. They don't have it. They don't have a capacity of choosing. They are always perfect. Why? Because they don't have interior life. We are called to be perfect, but in our Father. In the moment we are not my father, we are the most imperfect animal that exists. We are like crazy, no? What is pride? It's stupid. What is vanity? It's a stupidity in a supreme way. What is the greediness of accumulating things? What is lust? What is destroying my heart and my relationship with others? When the human being, when it is not in openness to God, is horrible. I mean, but it's created for fullness, a fullness that the animals cannot achieve. But in their life is learning to open to the fullness, the one who is holy, to the one who has the fullness in itself. You have come, you have life and life in abundance. I mean, that is now our choices and the way we do the things and the way we choose in our life. Right? Because animals cannot choose because they don't have interior life. They don't have self-awareness. They don't have self-conscious. It's interior life. You are always aware of what is happening inside you. In fact, your existence is your awareness of what is happening inside you. You don't know nothing about your body. You know your body to the reactions that are happening inside you, because you don't see your body. You understand yourself in the reactions of other people before you. What is your interior life? Your entire life is your self-awareness. It's something that is manifesting the spiritual dimension of the person. Animals don't have a self-awareness. I mean, they do things that you can digest, and they don't have responsibility in what they do. Because they are not aware of what they are doing. You are aware of what you are doing, of what you are feeling, what you are thinking, what you are experiencing, what is happening to others affect you interiorly, and now internally you know that something is changing inside you. Animals, nothing like that. They are changed by movement, but they are not aware, so they are not self-aware. What makes humans is that self-awareness, that is solitude. But at the same time, you are always, always in solitude. I cannot say it more clear. I will repeat it, but you are always in solitude. Right? Because what you are experiencing it by yourself. What your husband, your wife, your children experiences is what they are experiencing. And all this problem of superficiality and escaping and trying to create attachment to people is because of loneliness. It's our fear to loneliness. Because in the moment of solitude is not a bad thing. It's how we are created by God. So we are not created, but that solitude can be open to God. And that moment, solitude is disappearing. Why? Because is, you know, the saints, when they are in the union with God, what they want to be is in solitude. For what? For being God, the Son, expression of a Father of the Church. Ambrose of Milan, a big Father of the Church. When a person has friendship with God, never is less alone than when he is alone. Right? Because that friendship with God is something that is the fullness of intimacy and union. That is what the saints are, and we are called to live. I mean, but depend on us. I mean, there is the thing here of interior life is that we are human because we have interior life. When a person is not having an interior life, it's all superficiality, it's all appearance externally, trying to get power or trying to get prestige or honor or recognition, or it's all a lie. Because in the bottom, we are so weak and so little that now we need the appearance of that we are perfect, we are great, we are wonderful, we are marvelous, that you test yourself and it tests your faith. And you will see how many of these things are constantly ruling my head. I mean, how I feel, how they see me, how they don't see me. They like me, they don't like me. If I am nice, a good look, whatever. It's ruling your head constantly. Right? Because it's a very powerful thing, right? Because the desire you have of being loved. And the moment you are not opening that to God, is external, it's appearance. And now you cannot have an interior life because you are destroying your interior life. Right? Because you are making a lie about yourself. Because the moment I am trying to get love outside, that is what is the thing. I mean, it's not that so I had to be bad and horrible. No, I'm not saying that. But nobody's going to give you the love that you need. Because if you are looking for the love outside, you are in the point, I am in the point of the Pharisees. I am there, exactly there. In the moment I am looking for the love in God, I am in a God who can fulfill my heart. Why? Because He is the only one who can fulfill this heart, that He has created it for fulfilling it. But I insist, it's the two dimensions of our interior life. First is the interior solitude, that every human being is created in that solitude. And it's your life, I mean, because what you are experiencing, only you are experiencing it. It's clear. I mean, nobody can experience what you are experiencing. It's your mystery. Your entire life, nobody can, you cannot tell a person and say, okay, this is what is happening to me. But you know, now is the mediation of your world. And it's the interpretation of the other person. I say, yes, I feel what you are saying. No way. We feel better when we hear that, but the truth is that the other person is interpreting what you are saying, but it cannot experience what you are experiencing. But God is experiencing what you are experiencing, what you are experiencing. It makes the whole difference. He's there for that. So he never is alone. I mean, God has created us. Everything that is happening in you is the creative action of God in you, inside you. It cannot be another way. It's open to God, it's in fullness, it's close to God, it's in misery. It depends on you. Why? Because this interior life is your very life. And it's going to be there. And it's expressing, I don't want to put the things like tough, but it's expressing fullness in dying. We die always alone. Because it's me who is dying, it's not the other person. I mean, but in this, in every state of your life, in every moment of your life, what is happening inside you is totally personal. It's your very being. It's you. It's what makes you special. It's what makes you unique. It's what makes you a person. It's what makes you, your entire life is the very awareness of being a gift. But in the moment you are not open to God, it's not a gift. It's solitude. It's loneliness and now escaping. This is society, it's all escaping from that interior life. Why? Because only God can fulfill that interior life. Now, he's thinking that I have a lot of connection. You know, all these Facebook thing, Instagram, all these things are created because people feel that they are connected. Connected with that, with nothing. But they think that they are connected. They feel that they are connected. There is no real connection because these guys, you have a problem, no one is there with you. Be sure. I mean, I told those who were yesterday here, how amazing is the thing in this moment. I mean, in Spain, I have a niece that is working as a nun, yeah? And she's going to the hospital, and she told how people died. And they call the family, people dying of coronavirus, and they call the family for coming, and they don't go for being in the last moment with the father of the mother. It's tough. No, it's this thing. Is how our contacts are contacts in the superficiality, totally superficial thing. They have no depth of love to anyone. And they ask them if they want to go to the person before taking her to the sanatory or whatever place that you call here, and they'll go. I mean, that is the kind of links that we have with people. And I'm talking about fathers and mothers. It's tough. It's not tough, it's how we are living our lives in the total superficiality. But it's because we don't have a relationship with God, and when you have a relationship with God, all his appearance, all his emotions, and all his my feelings, and all his my ego, and I mean, and the last word that is death, fear, panic. And so going to even see your father, if something can happen to you, I mean, let him die alone. Sad, no? Is the truth. I mean, this is something that she was telling us the other day. But it's there. It's because these superficial relationships. Dance is your mystery as a person is your interior life. That is what you are. You have something that is not your interior life? Do you know something about you that is not interior life? That is your experience of reality through your body. That is your interior life. But this self-awareness is not something, it's what is you are living always. We use a technical word that is self-conscious or self-conscious or self-awareness or other words that can be used, interior life or the heart. But it's the mystery of a human being that has an interior life. And the problem of this interior life that is open to God or is always not in solitude, in that moment is in loneliness. And being in loneliness is hell, so nobody can be there. And now we are escaping for creating affective emotional relationships, for coming out from our fear. Because solitude is the worst thing that can happen to a person. But the thing here is understanding that we are always there. Where? In solitude. I mean, I open to God and never in solitude because now my life is coming from the love of God and God works there. Not like Christian life is a punishment that we make. No, it's the only way of living human life. If we are not living in a relationship with God, our life is all crazy of appearance and external things, and it's impossible to be happy, because now what is the second dimension of my interior life? The second dimension of my interior life is I choose. What I choose? I choose who I am. But in the moment I am externally, external things, it's not choosing who I am. It's choosing how I create a relationship that keep me, they pay attention to me, they look to me, they want me, they desire me, they think that I am nice and good and intelligent and wise and very good doing these things or doing the other things. And we are there. I mean, it's crazy, but we are there. Only the moment you are not there, you can grow. Why? Because things are happening. My relationship with my boss, my relationship with my husband, with my wife, with my children, but how I'm growing there. Because that's the meaning of this relationship. But in the moment I don't have the entire life, I neither. I am focusing in that dimension that is the first self-awareness, the second is self-determination. You are defining yourself every moment of your life. It's a powerful thing, but can be also a painful thing. Because that is what makes you a human, that you choose. You have that interior life, and now you choose what is that interior life. You can be a saint, you can be a holy person, you can be in fullness, or you can be a slave and bondage and in selfies and in addictions and in drugs and in alcoholism and in whatever that is destroying you, and your choice. I mean, if you have God, the choice is very easy. But even you are not Christian, you are nothing, your life is your choices. And you are going in the way of virtues, or you are going in the way of harming yourself. Why? Because there is not human life and Christian life. No, they are not, that doesn't exist. It's human life, and when you open to God, human life in fullness. But it's the same life, because the Creator is the Redeemer. So He has come to heal our problem. He has no problems. He's infinite in His being and in His fullness eternally. Infinite in everything. Because His being in itself, existence in very infinite dimension that we can understand. And He has created us for sharing us His life. Now depend on us. I mean, why? Because depend on my choices. And that is interior life. But if I am not in the present moment, how I am going to make choices? About the future? If I am not in the present moment, how I am going to make choices? I cannot make choices tomorrow or yesterday. I can make choices now. I mean, and there is only one thing necessary, and Mary has chosen the best part. It's a choice that I need to do always, that interior life. Because this world is all trying to bring us out, to make us superficial, weak, and fearful, whatever. How they control us because of fear. Boom, 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 boom. All everything closed, everything at home. I mean, here is nothing, because you go to Spain, it's infinite worse. Right, because they are socialists and they are communists, so they are trying to go there in the control of people. So they all they think according to the fear they create. I mean, entire life is about that. But it's the true story of everyone, because your true story is what is happening inside you. Now, people, some people get depressed, other people get crazy. Why? I mean, because the circumstances of life, yes, but the choice is also the kata. Because when I choose, I am creating myself a kind of person. And you cannot avoid that. As I cannot avoid it. Why? Because that is the plan of God. For the atheist, for the agnostic, for the Protestant, for whoever. What are you choosing? I mean, today I was reading the Revelation book, and I search the heart and the mind of everyone for giving to everyone according to his deeds. But he's never saying that because you believe and you know. The faith and all things are for opening our heart to better choices, so we can be in a fullness, opening to the mystery of God in this life. But it's not something different than human life, no. I mean, that's the reason the world needs the gospel, because the gospel is the only way of stopping the egocentric behavior and trying to escape from God. I mean, and being ritualistic things that are connected with society and how they manipulate me, because that is the thing. Through fear, they control people. That has happened all along human history, where the Muslim thing is all a fearful thing. And then now they go and they do the things and they are insert in a ritualistic thing that is all the group and the power of the group. There's nothing internal. Because, I mean, you cannot kill a person if you have something internal. Because even Socrates, that was a pagan, is better to suffer evil than to do it. But not for the Muslims, no, in some way. Not for all, of course, because there are some of them that follow the natural law. Even against the religion. Because, I mean, natural law is in the heart of every human being. And it's there for knowing what is good and what is evil for every human being. So, your heart is a mystery of your life. I mean, and there is a God, you know, the scripture is a book of the wisdom of the heart. All the scriptures are the heart. It's the whole person. It's not the soul in the meaning of something spiritual that has nothing to do with my body. No. The way I live my body is the way of the hidden life. I mean, this is an expression that I encourage you to get it seriously in your life. To live in the spirit and to live in the body is the same thing. To live in the flesh, to live in the flesh and to live in the psychological thinking is the same thing. It's the neurotic thing. Or the simple thing, I mean, however you want to put it. I mean, but God has given me a body for living in my body. He has not given me senses for denying my senses. No, he has given senses for recognizing him through my senses. Instead of focusing my senses all in me, he has given me my body for a communion of love with my brothers and sisters and with God. But I mean, the communion of God is achieved through the body. It's not achieved through my behavior. My behavior is not an internal thing. It's the way I am acting, the way I am looking, the way I am moving, the way I am talking, the way that I am doing everything in my life. It's expression of my interior life. Because your body is language of the interior life. So more I am growing the interior life, that is why the saints are so powerful. Because the interior life is so powerful that now they express then that in their way of acting with people. And you are called to that as I am called to that. But depend on my choices. Depend on how I am opening to God. So how I, with my husband, I don't go to the superficiality of the relationship. No, I go to the depth of the mystery of God working now and here through me. In my husband, so I become salt and I become light of the world instead of being in the crazy emotional thing that never brings anyone to any place. Why? Because it's a matter of death in the human life, also in the human relationships. I mean, the mystery of the body is creating communion with others, it's love, but God is created through the communion, and the Holy Spirit is there for creating the body of Christ. So for giving us and bringing us to a communion of love that is created through the body, not through the emotional thing level, not through the way I give myself to others, in the way I open to serve my existence and my body to others. And that is the whole thing of the interior life, because interior life obviously is expressed in the external thing, because if my interior life is not expressed in my external thing is nothing. I mean, it's useless, as you can understand. If I'm not being more humble in my expressions, if I'm not being more kind in my expressions, if I'm not being more loving nothing is changing. So the thing is not working. I mean, the body I insist is the language of the person. It's the person in the external dimension. The body is not something that I have. It's something that I am. And that makes a whole difference with the Buddhist thing and the reincarnation thing. I mean, because without my body, I am nothing. Because I don't know nothing of me if it is not through my body. So how am I going to reincarnate and be myself without my body? That's the reason of the resurrection of the flesh. Because, I mean, my body is an essential part of my existence. I mean, what do you know about yourself that is not about your body? Do you know something? Do you want to raise your hand and tell me about what do you know that is not about your body in your life? Nothing. I mean, think whatever time you want to think about it. I mean, all you know is about your body. Another pretender that there is a reincarnation. No? with a body of a tree, I'm going to be the same person. That's what it means. It's an anthropology that is so poor, so miserable, but it's what people want to be because they don't want to face the mystery of the body. But the mystery of love is the mystery of serving others, of giving my life as Jesus. And the Son of God has come to give his life for us. And he is expressing a fullness in every action of Jesus. It's a fullness of the man who lives for the others. Right? Because he's living from God, he's living from the love of God, he's living in the interior dimension of his being, because everything that he says and did, what is? According to what we are listening these days, and we hope we continue listening in these days, it's coming from the Father. He never does anything that is not coming from the Father. This is about his humanity, I'm not talking about his divinity. I'm talking about how he came to this world to make us humans. So for living from the Father and being in that disposition, that is the total gift to others. But because I am not bringing myself, I am bringing others. He's not looking for his glory. He's looking for the glory of the Father. And he said to us and to the Pharisees, I mean, if you are looking for your glory, you cannot believe in me. You will see that I am not looking for my glory when I will be lifted up. So when I am crucified, you will see that I am not looking. I'm looking for the glory of my Father. I mean, that life is that, or we are looking for our glory, or we are looking for the glory of God. When we in the Eucharist, the priest hold the chalice and the through Christ, in Christ, and with Christ, to you, Almighty Father, in the communion of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is what is the sum up of the mystery of salvation. Why? Because it's now what we are created for, in Jesus, through Jesus, and with Jesus, give glory to the Father, because everything is coming from him. Even in the midst of the Trinity, everything is coming from the Father. So, but yesterday that we touched a little the thing of heaven. Where is heaven? Father, who are in heaven? I mean, heaven is not a place, not far away. It's not, God is not elsewhere. No, heaven is a way of being. What is there? It's a way of being with God. A person who is with God is already in heaven. And there is eternal life. It's being with God, is living already the life of God. Where? Of course, through our heart, through the faith and the mystery of Jesus. That he came to bring us to eternal life through faith. But this is a reading today of the gospel. I mean, it's constantly, but within eternal life is something that is going to happen in the future? Maybe not. We are not living it now. Why? Because it's not a relationship that I am going to have in the future. It's a relationship that I have now. How? Through faith. That is what he's saying. I mean, through faith, we are already in eternal life. I mean, through faith, we are in a relationship with God. The problem is our lack of faith, of course. Like you know how many times I have talked about this point. I mean, we have one problem. As Jesus is saying here, men of lack of faith. I mean, you worry about things that the pagans are worried. You believe really that you have a Father, that he's almighty, that he's the one who is dressing the flowers and nourishing the birds? Do you believe that? That God is God, that he's a creator, that he has an infinite providence in which everything is in that plan of him? I mean, what is the problem? My lack of faith for not living there. Because I have faith, I have trust. And if I have faith and trust, I have humility. And now I remain always with God. Because faith will bring me to being aware of who is God. That's what they are. Who am I at the same time? How I depend on him and how he loves me. But in the moment faith is not working, what is working? You hate sin. And you hate sin is all your fears. Because you are not in that moment open to God and you are not turned toward God. Your ego is working and ruling everything. That is the point of interior life, that you know, when I'm not open to his love, so understanding who is my Father, because Jesus came, my little flock, do not fear anymore. Your Father has pleased in giving you the kingdom. I mean, it's not saying, of course, we have to be a little flock because we are so little. I mean, we are in the divine providence of God and he's ruling everything, even the crosses and the trials and the difficulties, for the good of those who love him. But now depend on me if I am loving him or I am living in my thinking, trying to resolve what I cannot resolve, because I insist the thing is very simple. Because it's for those who are living in the truth. Because we are very little. We are nothing. I mean, a little animal that we call it virus or whatever is not an animal either. Yeah, we are is controlling our society. Imagine who we are. And killing people and people and people. I mean, and it's something that even we don't see. So what are we? But we think not that we are. The point here is that interior life is real life, it's true life, it's living in reality. It's only that. So why? Because it's mystery you interior life, but the moment you are not, and I see this in the point of desire, because we have talked a lot about that, but I mean, your desires rule where you are living. You live where your desires are, that's a description of the cross, it's not mine. A person lives more where his desires are. Where there is your treasure, there is your heart. So where is your desire, your treasure, there is your heart. So there is your life, there is your interior life, there is everything in you, where are your desires. And you can know constantly where are my desires, because we can know it, and we can grow and change things, and know my disordered affections, and knowing the things that are harming myself. Destroying my relationship with God, destroying my fullness, destroying the union with the God, I can know then. Nobody can know that. Why? Because it is your interior reactions to reality. It's the way you are living the present moment. Nobody can know that. You can explain to the other person can do this. But what is happening, only you can know it. It's clear at that point, no? I mean, it's so simple and so basic, but nobody can know what is happening in your heart. Only you, but through what is happening in your heart, you can know exactly where you are and where are your desires and what is your relationship with God and how you are opening to God or how you are not opening to God. And there is not a problem because He loves you. So the thing is not, I am doing the things wrong. No, here is not that the problem. The problem is that this is a God who is infinite love and is wanting to come to your heart and bring you to fullness. Yeah? Because He is calling you to be light and salt of the world. He's calling you to live the Beatitudes. He's calling you to love as your Father loves. He's calling you to love as He loves. He's giving you the Holy Spirit in fullness always. But the problem, where is this? In Him? No, of course, my friends. It's in me. Because it's me what is taking the place of God inside me and not letting God to be God in the only place that He needs to be God. That is my heart. It's my this self-awareness and this self-determination. Because God now, through His Spirit, so through His love, wants us to live in the present and make the choices with my cooperation that make me the man that I am called to be. But if that is not happening, test yourself. I mean, you can know everything in your relationship with God if you want. Because it's coming to me too many times for not to go there. The text of today, because, I mean, eternal life is already given. I mean, and you know these guys, the apostles, how they were, they come out from prison and instead of saying, okay, we go, because no, they go directly to the temple area where they know that they were going to bring them again to prison and they don't care. With joy, giving witness of the Lord. And then, you know, they are going now to take them, you will see in the next day, they are going to scorch them and they are very glad because they have suffered because of Jesus. Something different was in their lives from before. And then now they are going to be in jail, St. Paul in another moment, and they are singing hymns in jail, in prison. And you will be there singing in prison, singing hymns of joy. And people say, what is this guy happening? Didn't lie, because they have a different life. What? The same life, the inner life, the interior life, the action of the Holy Spirit in their soul. Because I am being moved by Holy Spirit and my desires are according to the Spirit, because you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells in you. I mean, if you are not getting this clear in your prayer is not going to any place. In Christian life, is not about a God that is external. In that, they believe the Muslims also. That God is creator, that He has a divine providence, that He rules everything. Yeah? Sure that they believe in that. They have a new personal relationship with God, because God is totally out of them. It's surrender, but there is no relationship of love. You call you a Muslim person, you say that God is your father, and they got upset with you. Why? Because they don't have a personal relationship with God. They have an adoration, in the meaning, not adoration of the intimacy of the heart, in truth and in the spirit. No, it's adoration of total surrender, like a slave to their God. This is the way they live their religion. You can read the books. I mean, I'm saying nothing for putting them down. No, it's what the things are. I mean, I remember always this Scott Ham talking about that. I mean, how he was in a talking with a Muslim guy, and he brought that because God our Father, and he stopped him saying, "I mean, God is not our Father." If you repeat that, I will go. And he repeated it twice, and he left. Why? Because he was not calling God Father. Because for them, the thing is that now you are saying something about God, but you are saying something worse about God, saying that he's not Father, because we have the true revelation. I mean, so, but he's there. I mean, they are imposing their ways. So here's the text today. The definition is something that can help us a lot in this hidden life. I insist in something if we don't have time or whatever. I mean, here, the most important things are the little things in your life. Because that's showing to you your relationship with God. I mean, this paper that you are taking from the floor, when you haven't thrown the paper in the floor, this cleaning the things that somebody other has dirt and you are not in charge of cleaning it. These things that are hidden and only God knows them and make you humble, and make you a disposition of serving others. These things are the things that have value before God. It's clear at this point. I mean, God doesn't need nothing. He needs a heart that is a humble heart and is looking for him in the hidden life, in the secret of the heart. All the appearance, all the show off, all that, the point is that people are not there, and that is the reason I see in the confessionary a lot of moms that have a lot of problems for being at home with their children and taking care of the children, because it's very, what? Unknown. And nobody's giving them thanks. And the children less. And they don't obey, because they don't have a good power with that. It's tough. I mean, cleaning the pop of the children every day, I mean, it's something that you do it, but you are looking for God, and you do it in a fullness that is the action of God, or it's boring, and you want to finish that and go to the internet, or go to Instagram, or go to with your friends, or finish that. Why? Because you don't have the interior life, family and marriage are destroyed because they have no meaning. Now, it's all affective, emotional things, external things. That is nothing to do with marriage and with family life, because it's the plan of the Creator for working in us. It's marriage and life from the beginning. The plan was broken because we broke with God, but Jesus came to restore the plan. That is the reason there is amazing. If you read Italian, you can look for you know, this guy who has written the novena of surrender, of abandonment, divine will, Dolindo Ruotolo. His name, an Italian priest. And he wrote a letter, a beautiful book to the monks as the fullness of Christian life. I mean, and this is Pope Pius XII. Give me holy women and we will change the world. Christian holy women. And not those who are trying to make this preaching and this thing. I mean, sorry for that. I mean, the mystery of the woman is the interior life. But losing the woman, the interior life, where is the man? Totally lost in here, lost and sexuality. This is what is happening in our relationships. Right? Because if the woman who is the mystery of the hidden life as Mary and is the mystery of femininity is not there, because she has more capacity of receiving, more capacity of you know, being a mother is receiving a person. So all her psychology, all her physical dimension is created for the spiritual dimension of receiving a person inside her. Man don't have that in the psychological level and in the physical level. So if who is the one who has to teach the mystery of receiving? Because Christian life is all receiving, it's full of grace. It's receiving the grace and the action of God in you. In the moment the woman is not there, where is going to be the man? Imagine. Look out and see what is happening. But now, why? Because and the man is losing his meaning, because now a man has to teach the children to open to God and guide them toward God. But if a man has no interior life, so has not learned through his wife to have this interior life, he's lost. And now he don't know how to be a father. He only know how to shout sometimes and put rules and get upset and angry sometimes, but he don't know what to do because he's not guiding toward God. Because for guiding toward God, you need to know God. You cannot guide toward the place that you don't know. Now it's rules. If you are guiding toward God without a knowledge of God, it's all rules and authority in the meaning of bath of authority that is authoritarianism. Because the man has the mission of authority. In the moment he doesn't have for internal life, and then it's for teaching your children to open to God, not for bothering them. And the first mission of a father, of course, is opening the children to the love of the father. Because the only one who is father is God. I mean, is there, but this is a part of interior life. That's the reason I'm bringing it. So, but in the moment you lose these little sacrifices of love that open you to God, that is the things that a mother has to do at her home every day and every moment. You lose and you understand that God is there in the secret of the heart and he rewards you. You are out. You are trying to get out from there. And I understand it, that you try to get out. Why I am going to be there doing things that, because if in the moment I see that you are not looking for the interior life, you are looking for the appearance of the world. As Jesus put very clear, for being seen by others, for showing off you, me, and everyone in this world, nobody can escape of this situation. So in the moment the Christian life, what did is restoring family, because restore the heart of the woman. And restoring the heart of the woman brought the man to God again, because the one who brings the man to God is the woman, as was in the Genesis, in the first page of the Bible. But in the moment the woman pretended without God to bring the man to her, boom, that is originalism. And that is the emptiness of the woman and the dependence. You will desire the man without her, and he will domain you. So it's now a dependence on the affective level. Why? Because if you don't have God, you need to create attachments. You need to replace God by husband or fiance or boyfriend or whatever. And now is the crazy thing of the women, slaves of men, because that is what is human history, is slavery, because the woman, they don't have their dignity, that is their interior life. And when a woman is not in the interior life, he desired the man with ardor and he domained them. And this is the origin and the constant permanent fountain of machism, the heart of the woman. And when he doesn't do that with a man, he's doing with the child and putting the child, and then the child become homosexual because it's all focused in the boy affective level. I mean, it's a thing that is horrible, but has a lot of consequences, as you can understand. Christian life, what makes is understanding the mystery of the sacred family, that you can be in fullness in whatever situation, even at the foot of the cross, as Mary. But in the moment that is not working, things cannot work. But this is the Christian revolution. It's a revolution of the heart. It's a revolution of the love of God. It's a revolution that God is working, and now the person is, well, how? Yeah? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Joy, peace, and fullness. That is the kingdom of God. Yeah? It's not a thing of matter, external thing, no. It's a fullness that God gives to those who are looking for him. Where? Outside. Outside. No, inside. Within. Your Father, who is in the secret, will reward you. And this is the mystery of the Holy Family. But this text of Jesus, I am going to read it because I think it can help us a lot. For me, it was a great, huge light after my conversion. Was of the key test and continue being, I mean, because this is not something, the relationship with God has infinite degrees. It is a relationship of love. So you don't touch God by any other way than love. So, and when you are coming to love, you need to come to light. So you need to come to know yourself, to know what is my lack of love. You don't want to know that, you cannot go to God. because love is coming from God. And so I come to God when I open my wounds to his love, when I come to the light, and I don't hide anything from God. Why? Because he knows everything. Hiding something from God is a little crazy, but I mean, when we don't hide things to God, we hide things to ourselves, because we don't want to know ourselves and our weakness sometimes. And this is a text that, in my opinion, is, so first talking, there is a chapter 3, I'm not going to read the whole thing. First talking how we need to be born from high. As you can understand, that means being born from God. I mean, it's an expression of a Jewish person, for talking from high means God. The born from heaven means God. So it's being born from God. So living from the love of the Father, Jesus. And that is Christian life. The essence of Christian life is being a child. So it's being Jesus. And the most and the deepest thing in the heart of Jesus is being a child. It's being loved by the Father and eternally in his being, in his person. And you know, as we talk the day of the incarnation, there is only one person. So the human nature is taken by the person, but the person is living always from the Father. And we are created in a similar way of Jesus by nature. Now by grace is because nature has been created by grace, for grace. So in the moment we are not living in that dimension, our humanity is destroyed, because you, as me, need a Father. And if you are not living from the love of your Father, you are looking outside for love. And nobody can avoid this. That is the reason of salvation and proclaiming the gospel. Why? Because it's the Muslim people and the Hindu people, they have this problem. I mean, they don't have a Father. And that is these societies, they are, the cultural thing has been maintaining the common theme, but with this thing of the media, it's going to be a bomb in those societies, right? Because it has been a bomb in Christian society. Imagine what is going to happen in this. That reason, the Muslim has put a barrier that they don't let the media to get them totally. I mean, in a way, they can avoid that. Why? Because they know that their religion disappears if they let the Western culture to come inside them. They are dead as religion. And they know it. I mean, that was the reaction of fundamentalism is, whoop, what is this? Because fundamentalism was born in these years of the beginning of communication and all this. So, but here, the point is at the point of my heart. We don't go to other people and understanding how we need a Father. So being born from high is being born from the Holy Spirit. Because the Father is the one who gives the Holy Spirit through his Son. Not that he's given out of the Son. So nobody received the Holy Spirit out of Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is coming from the Father and the Son. It's not coming from the Father alone. Even the Orthodox, they have this little problem in their changes, because Jesus is the one who blew the other day and was giving him the Holy Spirit to the apostles. So denying that the Holy Spirit is coming from the Son is denying the Holy Spirit directly. But you know, the Orthodox, they have also their own problems. But we don't know that. But the point here is understanding that we need to be born from God. I mean, we need to be born from the Spirit. That is what it means, a child of God. It's being born from the love of Father. And this is what he's saying to us. Look for the love of the Father. He will reward you. Because when you are looking outside for being seen by others, what you are looking is for love. Obviously, no. You are looking for being appreciated and wanting that they look to you. They like you. They think that you are God. Test yourself and you will see. And now he finished after talking also about the test is amazing, because after talking about how Moses lifted up the serpent. What is the serpent? The serpent was what was killing the Jews. And this is from Jesus. I mean, because nobody, you think that an apostle or a Christian writer is going to invent and comparing the Son of God with a serpent? It's impossible. These words are coming directly from Jesus. I mean, and clearly this expression, I mean, because he's him who is comparing himself with a serpent. The same as Moses licked up the serpent in the desert. For what? The same animal who was killing them is the animal who is going to heal them. What is the meaning of that? That the same thing that is killing you, that is your sins, my sinfuls, my pride, my thing, is the same thing. When I see it in Jesus, that he has taken it for me, now his mercy is coming. That is what he's saying to us, that the same thing that kills is what can heal us now before him. because are my sins, but I see that he has taken on the cross for me. So is the meaning of the serpent is that, the same thing that was killing is what gives life. And now the thing that gives you life is opening to God. What you have. And you know, because I go saying the same thing, you know what you have. I don't know, and I cannot know, and I don't want to know it either. But you know what is in your heart from the morning to the night, because that is your humanity. It's the self-awareness you have of what is happening inside you. And everything that you can open to the love of God, because he has taken it in the cross. He took your sufferings, he took your death, he took your sins. He took everything. It's Isaiah 53. I mean, and that Jesus came for redeeming us. For what? Because he has come for bring us what we have. What? You know. I mean, I don't go there. But here is the problem with salvation. That he has done that. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So that everyone who believes, what? That God the Father has given his son for you. So the Almighty, the infinite, the almighty power who rules the universe in his infinite power and is first cause of everything that is happening in the universe. I mean, and that means that he's more cause than every other thing. When I move this finger, I mean, it's difficult to understand, but that is the only God that exists. Is his first cause, I am second cause, which means that he's more cause than me. The only thing that he's not more cause than me is sin and evil. Because sin and evil has no being. It's a denial of being. But in the action that I am moving the hand for hitting a person, this God is more action than me. But it's not in my will and in the desire of my will of hatred. In that is a denial of God. It's clear at this point. I mean, this God is the one who has given his son to die on a cross for you. I mean, it's not the thinking of God. No, it's the creator almighty. Yeah. And that is the way he loves you. I mean, he cannot love you more. He can't love you more. Why? Because giving his son is giving his very being. Because the Father is Father because he has a son. So the very being of the eternal God that in the Holy Trinity is his son. So the Father is Father not independently of the Son. No, he's Father because he has a son. I mean, and now he's, and for God, what? That we have those who believe in what? In the love of God. So in Jesus, that is the love of the Father. Have eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is letting Jesus to be now in my heart and living from Jesus, in Jesus, and with Jesus. That is eternal life. It's living the life of the Son. It's a communion of love with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And that is inside you. That is given through faith. In what? In the love of God. Because we're not seeing. And now the thing is how I am opening to him whatever is happening inside me. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Safe of what? Of the things that are separating me from God. So I can bring everything that is happening inside me to the love of God, to the power of God, to his son. I came to save sinners. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he had not believed in the name of the only Son of God. That I mean that he has not believed in the mercy of God, in the love of God, because what is Jesus? It's the mercy of the Father. So the action of the Father giving his son for us is his mercy. It's the love for me being a sinner. So it's not that he loves me because I am good. No, that is some damage of the serpent. And now finish with this word that I really can I finish also with them, but we are on time. Yes. And this is the verdict. The judgment, also, that the light came into the world. What is the light? Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. But what is Jesus, the light of the world? Because he shows us who is the Father. He shows us who is God. He shows us what is the mercy and the love of God for sinners. So no sinner has any excuse because the light has come to the world. But what? If I want to come out from sin. And this is, I insist, this is an infinite degree of levels here. Because I'm degrees of love. And this is the verdict that the light came into the world. But people preferred darkness to light. Why? Because their works, their actions were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light, so that his words might not be exposed. So he don't know himself what he's doing. But who works, whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his words may be clearly seen as done in God. It's one of the key passages, because you don't understand the suffering of desires. It's, there is a light, but I don't want to come to the light. Why? Because my actions. This is the front of salvation and condemnation, but this is the front of holiness also. How I am coming to the light. Sometimes it's painful. Well, depends how humble you want to be. Your humble is not painful, because it's knowing yourself. And knowing yourself is the greatest thing that you can do, coming to the light, because now you come to the love of God. It's the same thing. When you think that God loves, it's painful if I am trying to protect myself and cover up things, and I don't want to come to the light, and I don't want to know myself, and I don't want to know how is my little is my love, and I don't want to know what is my pride, and I don't want to know what is my selfishness. And if you don't know these things, that is a problem, because now we refuse. We prefer to be in darkness than in light, and we don't want to come to the light. And this is a point of salvation, but it's a point of holiness at the same time. You know, the dark nights are a kind of knowledge of myself before the light of God. And there you can go deep and deeper. But the first thing and the most important thing is understanding that this text is based in one thing, only one, the mercy of God for you. So the love he has in my weakness to me. That is the expression of the Father giving his Son. That is the expression of the mystery of the cross that has to be lifted up. That is the mystery that need to be born from high. That is God who is wanting to work in you. What? To what you have. Not what you would desire to have. No, with exactly what you have. And there is entire life is learning to open this, because he loves me, but I need to come in a process called humility for coming to the truth of myself, of what is my love. And how love is coming from God. And he's the vine and I am the branch. And without him, I can do nothing. But he wants me to bear fruit and fruit in abundance. In the measure, I am coming to connect in union with the branch, with the vine. And letting the vine give me the sap, that is the Holy Spirit, for loving as he loves me, that is his commandment. And the moment that is not happening, now it's all thinking. I mean, this is a process that is for every human being. I'm opening the mystery of my heart to the love of God, to the mercy of God. Yeah. And entire life is about that, because he wants to bring you fullness, because he wants, and not in 25 years, no, because he loves your husband, he loves your wife, he loves your children. And more in fullness you are, more you can communicate to them the mystery of God. It's clear the point. I mean, God does not want in us to take a 1,000 years for becoming holy. I mean, as Ignatius put it very clear, I mean, those who are earnestly and enthusiastic and go quickly and put the means, they get quickly and with less effort. And those who are lazy and not wanting and they take all their life and they never get to the goal. But there, as again, you choose. Because the good that is here is infinite. It's not a kind of good. No, it's the good that contains all goodness. It's the good that contains all beauty. It's the good that contains all pleasure and all gifts and all wisdom. That is the good that we are looking for. Eh? That is given to those who open their hearts to the truth, to the light of God, to the love of God, to his mercy. And that is entire life is learning to do that. And I insist in the point so we can finish with that. You have it here. I mean, God manifests always to the little things, to the poor things, I mean, to the little ones. I mean, you pretend to find God in extraordinary movements, we don't find God. Because as you can understand, the normal life of every human being, what is? The ordinary life, the work at home, the work in washing the dishes, in doing the cooking, and doing other things. I mean, if God is not manifested there, God doesn't exist. But God is manifested there, to the little ones and the poor. So those who are in the hidden life with Jesus and with God, because you are his temple. You have a lot of quotes here about that presence of God within you. But we finish with the one who has the greatest interior life and inner life of Mother Mary, asking her to help us. And she You have this beautiful preaching, not hear this. Mary teaching Jesus to pray. Oh, it's really beautiful. I know you see. It's here. And there is a Samaritan woman. I know you see. So Jesus again, the living water. And he was not asking, you have to change your life now. You have to ask and believe for that living water instead of being looking for love outside. That is what you have been doing all along your life. And now you have been my husband, and the one who you have now is not your husband. Not in the situation of that woman, but that desire of looking for love outside. And this is offered her the fullness. It's not putting conditions, it's putting only faith and hope and knowing who is asking you, who is looking for you, and how much he loves you, what is the intensity, the dimension of the gift he wants to give you. That is God himself, the Holy Spirit. So we pray to her, asking her to make us understand these things in a deeper way. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen. Understanding that we are temples of God, God dwells in us, and that is eternal life, is going in that communion of God with the fire and the Son. That is a communion created by the Holy Spirit. Give glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you with his power and with his love, through the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
I didn't see because I was the time not seeing. Bye to everyone.
Thank you, Father.
Thanks, Father.
God bless you.
Nice seeing you. God bless you.
Hey.
Yo, thank you for taking care of this.
Oh, no problem. Hey, Father, tell Steve and Tom, he's got an account, so we're 6 o'clock on Friday.
Oh, yes, I will talk with Todd about that.
Okay, yeah.
Good. Thank you.
Right, thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.